Everyone, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here today. Wow, what a great day. What a great day to be in church together. We come to church to encourage each other, right? We come to church to obviously worship God, but we can worship God at home. We can worship God at Bedside Baptist, right? You ever hear that before? But we come together. We come together because we want to encourage each other. We want to see the body of believers, we call it, the body of Christ. We want to talk together. We want to hang out together. And then we come as we corporately worship. And it's such a beautiful thing. So thank you for being here. Happy Father's Day. It's a good day, right? It's a good day for us dads. We have traditions at our house. I've shared this before. But it's like birthdays and like Father's Day, Mother's Day, things like that. It's like we get to do whatever we want, right? So if I don't feel like getting up and getting myself like a can of water, or I'm like, it's Father's Day. Come on, kids, I need some water, right? And so hopefully you guys do that, guys, right? Like today's your day just to do whatever you want to do. But it's fun. We have a good time with that. We had a lot more fun when their kids were younger. You can really go with that. But now they're just sassy teenagers. What's going on, right? No, I'm just kidding. I love my kids sometimes. But hey, happy Father's Day. This is a good day. We're enjoying it together in church, and it's so fun to be here. So we're going to start a sermon series. We're going to jump right into it because it's just good stuff. The book of Jude. You ever read the book of Jude? Do you even know where the book of Jude is? My oldest son is named Jude, named him after the book of the Bible, and we always used to say, his name's Jude, like Jude Revelation. So we always said that when we were explaining, what's his name, Jude? A lot of people haven't really heard that name before, but we say Jude Revelation, and so it's the second to last book in the Bible, and it's just one chapter. And so if someone, you know, if you want to be funny and kind of say, hey, have you read Jude chapter 2? It's a fantastic passage of scripture, Jude chapter 2 through 3 and 4. People are like, yeah, I love Jude chapter 2. It's a great passage. And you know they're full of it because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. So try that sometime. It's like quoting the book of Moses, right? You guys ever quoted the book of Moses before? That's a great book. I mean, really good, right? Okay, you're too smart for me. There is no book of Moses. So anyway, Jude, this is one of those books of the Bible that is, it's a super, super small letter. They call it an epistle. It's a letter. It's a warning. And so it's a letter for the end times. It's really, Jude is kind of one of those writers that's writing to Christians. And we'll get into that in a minute. But D.L. Moody, the famous preacher D.L. Moody, he received an anonymous note in one of his crusades that said this. It said, "Fool." And then Moody told the congregation, "I've received many letters that were unsigned. This is the first I've received that was signed." You see, so we know that the book of Jude is written by Jude himself. See, some of the books of the Bible that we don't really know who the author is. Book of Hebrews, for example, we don't know who the author is. In the book of Hebrews. And so yet, some of the things like, some of the books in the Bible, like Esther was not written by Esther. Ruth was not written by Ruth. 1st and 2nd Timothy was not written by 1st and 2nd Timothy. It wasn't written by Timothy, it was written by Paul. So, but we do know that the book of Jude was written by Jude. And the reason we know this is because of the beginning. He identifies himself as Jude, the servant of Christ. In other translations, it maybe says the slave of Christ. And this is how he opens his letter to the church. He says, "My name is Jude. I am the author of the letter. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ." So let's take a look. We're just going to look at four verses. This is going to be a long series this summer. So we're going to take a look at four verses today. We're going to kind of take a look and just really unpack what Jude has to say for us. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ, verse 1, and a brother of James. "I'm writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, may God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Dear friends, I'd been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write you about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And so as we unpack this first section of Jude, we obviously know that Jude, the slave of Jesus Christ, his past, he's identifying himself with Jesus. But this word, or the name Jude, is like the English for Judas. There were at least three men with that name in the Bible. Three men with that name Judas. Of course, the famous one was Judas Iscariot, the one who denied Christ. And the other was, they sometimes call him Thaddeus. So that was another Judas or Thaddeus. And this is the third. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12, but he was the brother of James. And so James was the brother of Jesus. And so we see that Jude literally was the brother, the half-brother, if you will, of Jesus. And so I find it interesting, and maybe you will too, and again, I'm just kind of really trying to unpack this for us this morning. I find it pretty interesting that Jude just didn't open his letter and just simply said, hey, this is Jude, Jesus' brother. Because guess what? I'd do it. Absolutely. I'd be like, hey, this is James. By the way, I'm Jesus' brother. And don't you think that would give me some street cred? Absolutely. I mean, you'd get some crazy street cred, just kind of like name-dropping Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, total street cred. But Jude, he's humble. And he doesn't identify himself as the brother of the Savior of the world. And if you will, the creator of the universe. See, I would. But he says, I'm a slave. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That, I mean, we could talk about that for a little bit, couldn't we? I mean, the humility that it takes. The humility that it takes to be a Christian. The humility that it takes to be a follower of Jesus. That Jude got it. He figured that out. He didn't want to lead with that. Because I think, I personally think this was his thought. His thought was, if he identified himself as the brother of Jesus, people wouldn't really even think about moving on to what he actually really had to say. They would get wrapped up in the idea that, wow, wonder what it would have been like to be the brother of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? Like, think of the most famous person that you idolize, right? Who's that person? Imagine being the brother or sister of that person. People would forget what you have to say. All they would ask is, what's he like? What's it like to be the brother of Jesus? What's it like? And so I think Jude was like, listen, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say that I'm a servant of the Most High. Scripture tells us that Jude was in the upper room. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13, it lists the people that were in the upper room with Jesus at the Last Supper. Jude was there as well as the brother of James and Jesus. And so as we think of Jesus, or as Jude, again, like I said before, his position was like, I'm just here as a servant of Jesus Christ. There's not a lot recorded about Jude. There's not a lot of things that we see him in other stories, but we know that he's been given a book of the Bible as a letter. You see, not everybody's a preacher. Not everyone's an evangelist. Not everyone is a pastor. Not everyone is an elder, not everyone is a deacon, not everyone is a teacher, but all of us should be servants of the Lord Jesus. And so I love how Jude opens his letter. He simply says, I'm just a servant, nothing special. This should describe all of us as Christians today, right? This should describe all of us. When was the last time you've described your faith as, I'm just a servant of Jesus? Think about it. Somebody asks you, hey, are you a Christian? What do they usually say? What church do you go to? Right? Hey, you're a Christian? Where do you attend church? Like, that's the most important thing, right? So when you're identifying yourself as a Christ follower, the first thing to do is say, oh, we attend this, or I'm a Wesleyan, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm, Really? No. When's the last time we said, I'm a Christian, I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ? I think we should change, shouldn't we? I know I want to do that. And when somebody asks me the question, hey, you're a Christian, that's cool. I don't want to lead with, oh yeah, but by the way, I'm a pastor of this church. I love Jude's example. I'm a slave. I'm a slave of Jesus. That's where it's at. Jude's passion, verse 2. Jude's passion. He says, may God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. See, Jude's passion was for the church, the people of God, as seen through this letter, as he opens his letter with this. You see, this letter in its entirety was a warning. It was warning and instructions. He was a man that wanted God's people to be prepared for battle. He wanted them to be prepared of false teachers among them. And we'll move on, and I'll show you in a little bit. And so his purpose was in verse 3. He says, dear friends, he says this. Verse 3, I'd been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time for his holy people. So we see that Jude's, his original message was to the church, to talking about the salvation that they all shared. His original message was to the church of and it was kind of like, hey, I just want to write to you about the easy stuff, like salvation. Let's just talk about salvation. He made it clear that God had a different plan for him. However, he made it clear that God had a different plan. There's a great lesson here. I want us to not move on to this from this verse. Because we as Christians sometimes can get stuck, I think, where Jude was. We can get stuck in the warm fuzzies of Christianity. We can get stuck in the stuff that's easy to talk about amongst the brethren, if you will. We get stuck in understanding church life. And so it'd be like me saying, hey, I just want to just talk today about our salvation. I want to talk today about God's love. I want to talk today about the togetherness of the church and the church body. And we would all nod our heads saying, yes, we agree with you, Pastor. The church is good. The salvation is good. Jesus is good. And we all agree. And then we leave here today with all the warm fuzzies and the good feelings that we're all Christians. But Jude said, God is telling me something different that I've got to write to you about today. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about our salvation. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with joining together as a church body and encouraging each other. Nothing wrong with that in any way. But Jude simply says, I got to talk about something else because the Spirit is telling me to go deeper. God made it clear what Jude was supposed to talk about in his letter, that it was necessary for him to encourage the church to defend the faith. As a result of this change, Jude's letter deals with the subject of apostasy. Have you ever heard that word before, apostasy? It's a big word. It's not necessarily even found in Scripture. This word apostasy or apostates, it's the theme of Jude's letter. Jude's like, hey, I'm just wanting to talk about Jesus and salvation, but God's asking me to talk something different about apostasy. And this word isn't found, like I said, in the Bible, but Paul spoke about apostasy. And let me just give you a handful of passages that the Apostle Paul talks. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says this, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly in the last times that some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. That's apostasy. That's apostasy. When someone will profess Christ and then fall away from the faith and be led astray by teachings from demonic spirits. Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. And so Paul talks about the end times, that we or the great rebellion against God will start happening in the world. Is there rebellion against God in our world? Shake your heads, yes. There's rebellion against God, isn't there? There's rebellion against the Holy Scriptures. There's rebellion against the teachings and the preachings and the twisting and the turnings of God's word. And so Paul says this, don't be fooled by what they say. That's apostasy. That's apostasy. The Apostle Peter, he spoke of apostasy in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, if you're keeping up and writing down, but just trust me, it's there. It says this, 2 Peter 3, you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. So again, Peter's warning the church of apostasy, of people worming their way in and messing it all up. Worming their way in and teaching and preaching their own ideas that is false. And so Jude's purpose in his book, in his letter, was to warn of apostasy. Again, that's a word you don't have to memorize. That's a word that you really don't need to absolutely learn, but it's got some Greek root to it. The word apostasy has some Greek root to it of apostasia, which is translated falling away. And so what this means is like a Christian who is coming into our church who falls away. And so that Greek thought is that same thing of divorcing, of being divorced, is that falling away from the faith. And so when we think about this, many have fallen away and gone off and believed and are teaching their own stuff. And Jude is teaching and preaching against this. And so when you fall away from the faith, when you depart from the faith, this kind of spins into kind of our Wesleyan Arminian theology as far as understanding that it is possible for one to lose their salvation. Now, you may be of the Calvinist thought, you may be the Calvinist background and think, well, no one can lose their salvation. I mean, Jesus has saved us once and for all. But as we see in Scripture, it is possible for us to walk away from our salvation. I mean, Jesus did his work on the cross. Jesus has done his complete and final work for our salvation, yes. Nothing can change that except me. Except me. I can walk away. I can be divorced. I can fall away from the faith. And Jude is absolutely teaching. He's saying this is what has happened, that there's many people. Let me read it again. He's reading in verse 4. He says this, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice something here in verse 4, that people have wormed their way into the church. Now, I want to make sure that we realize is that Jude is writing about those who slipped into the church, not the unsaved people, right? Not those people who don't know Jesus, not those wicked, horrible, nasty sinners. They're talking about people within the church. And so let me just be clear, church, applying it to us, is that we're not to shun the unsaved. We're not to reject the sinner. This isn't what Jude's talking about here. We are to embrace, we are to love, we are to welcome those who don't have Jesus in their lives. Amen? Yeah. As a church, as Dighton Church, we will welcome the sinner here. This isn't what Jude's talking about. Jude is talking about that those who have crept in among us, kind of signifying the fact that there's a mole, right? There's a mole. there's someone here. There's a group of people here that have crept in. And I love what he says, wormed their way in. And so Jude is giving this amazing warning. Listen, I was going to talk to you about some warm, fuzzy salvation stuff, but we've got to beware. We've got to be aware to defend our faith. What do you believe? What do you believe, church? I mean, how solid is your theology and your foundation in Jesus Christ? Jude is saying, be careful, because there are many who have wormed their way in these last times. They're trying to pull you away. They're trying to pull you away. They're trying to pull you away. I could spend some time, but we don't have a lot of time, but we can think about other examples. All you have to do is read the news. You just have to be aware of what's going on. Some denominations, some churches, there are some who've wormed their way into congregations and just simply want to pull you away from the faith. And Jude says in the end times, this is going to take place, and we have got to be ready to contend for our faith and to be ready to battle. Can I say it again? If you just didn't hear it this time, please hear it. If you didn't hear it last time, please hear it. We're not fighting against the unsaved. We are not fighting against them. We are not in battle with the homosexual LGBTQ community. Did you know that? We're not in battle with them. We love them. Jesus loves them. We are not in battle with the Democrats. We are not in battle with the Republicans. We are not at battle with Russia. We are not at battle with those people who do evil things in this world. Did you realize that, Christian? We are not at battle with them. We are to shine our light. We are to be loving Christians. We are to be people that are absolute love, as God is love. Jude is saying, here's who we need to battle, is those who have crept into the church. And this warning for us is something that we have to be so aware of, the apostate who's teaching wrong theology. Listen to what Paul says, another great passage in Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, these people are false apostles. They're deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Verse 14, still talking in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment for their wicked deeds that they deserve. You see, Satan is deceptive. And he's able to just pluck one person and say, listen, this is truth. Go teach that. Go teach that in your Sunday school class. This is truth, Satan says, and so go teach that in your small group. I've heard of a church. This is firsthand. This isn't something I read. Firsthand, I've heard of a church in our state. I'm going to keep it very vague. That the senior pastor of this church had said to the staff, he said, I heard that there is a certain family in our church that wants to lead a small group at their house. And this senior pastor went to say to his staff, he said, listen, we're not going to have that. We are not going to allow this small group to happen in this home. And the staff was like, what is going on? That's so strange. They've been coming to our church for years. They're great Christian people. Why wouldn't he want them to hold a small group in their house? He said, listen, they live in a trailer park, and it wouldn't look good for our image as a church. Really? SMH. All you young people got that. Shake my head. Right? I think that's... Anyway, I tried to connect with y'all, but I didn't. It fell flat. shake my head. Oh my goodness, right? And so like, who cares? I mean, that's just an example. Just an example off the top of my head of understanding that we have to be so careful as a church to know good and bad theology. I'm telling you, that's bad theology just because they live in a trailer. Who cares if they live in a trailer? Do they love Jesus? Are we instructed to teach? And you get the point. You see, church, we have got to be careful. As Jude says, we have to be careful to defend our faith. So as we think about this as the as we kind of wind down this morning, someone once said this: all it takes for evil to prevail is a few good men to do nothing. All it takes for evil to prevail is a few good men and women to do nothing. And so, church, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. And we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about what do we do then? What is it that we have? How do we know who's good? How do we know who's bad? How do we know if there's apostates in our church? How do we know if Pastor Jim is teaching us baloney from the pulpit? How do we know? How do we know? How do we know? Well, thanks for asking. We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about it next week. As the band comes forward, we're going to land this plane here pretty soon. We're going to ask let's just be open to what God has for us out of the book of Jude, okay? Because I think this is something that is so vital for us as a church today. We've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful that we contend for the faith in the right way. Because all it takes is for evil to prevail in our nation, in our church, all it takes is for us to do nothing. It'll happen. It'll happen. And so, church, we've got to know what we believe. You have to know what you believe. And in order for you to know what you believe, you got to open the Word. You got to stick closely to the Word of God. That this is our moral compass. This is what guides us. This is what directs us. This is where we get good theology from. The Word of God. And so Jude, as he wrote this fabulous little epistle, this little letter to the church, I'm so thankful that the Spirit came over him to say, I'm not going to talk about salvation and the warm fuzzies today. I got to talk about something that we got to all be aware of. Because the end times are here. The end times are here. And as you see things in the news, as you see things happening with other denominations, other churches, other things that are like, wow, what is going on? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's pray together. God, as we read the book of Jude and his beautiful letter, we thank you for the warnings. We thank you for the awareness that we just can't sit back and relax and enjoy the show anymore. Those days are over. Help us, God, to dig deep in our faith, in our own personal faith, in our own personal faith journey. Help us to dig deep in your Word through the power of your Holy Spirit so that we know truth from a lie. So we know scripture from opinion. So we know a preacher's story versus Jesus's story. God, I thank you. I don't take this lightly. I thank you for your Word. Help me, God, to stick ever so closely, not veering from the right or to the left, but staying right in center. Teach us, Lord. Guide us and direct us, Lord. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's stand together and let's just continue to worship as we go about our day.